advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Yes,
it's sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have a wonderful guest today who will join us at the bottom of the hour, Sophia Smallstorm. Meanwhile, Biden recalls U.S. ambassador and wishes Biden good health after the president calls him a killer. This is one of the truly fumbling, stupid, incompetent acts of Joe Biden, of which we're going to see an endless number. The man is not cognitively competent, and as you all know, it's not even, in my opinion, the real Joe Biden. Meanwhile, Putin also reached out to suggest they have a debate. That must have struck fear in the hearts of every member of the Biden team, because obviously Putin would make mincemeat of Joe Biden. Practically anyone above the age of 6 or 7 could. Meanwhile, Candace Owens, who's just a super person, triggers Twitter by inviting Putin onto her show. Says Biden dodged the Kremlin request for a debate over mental health issues. I think that's a nice phrase to substitute for cognitive incompetence. The boldly and harshly worded take on Biden and Putin, which Owens asked her Twitter followers to share, came after the two world leaders exchanged pleasantries to the media this week. So here's what she tweeted. Candace Owens, I'm asking all of my followers to retweet this. For obvious mental health reasons, Joe Biden has declined a public discussion with Kremlin Russia. I'd like to publicly invite Vladimir Putin to sit down with me for a wide-ranging interview on the Candace show. Things kicked off when Biden called Putin a killer in an interview with George Stephanopoulos, and promised that the Russian would pay a price for allegedly interfering in the 2020 U.S. presidential election. But that's, of course, just ridiculous. There wasn't any Russian interference in the 2020 election. There was massive foreign interference, but none of it was Russian. It came to the Dominion voting machines, where Dominion is based in Canada, the Scylla tabulating service, where Scylla is based in Spain, and the use of Leonardo's satellites, apparently arranged by Barack Obama years in advance, which, of course, are owned or controlled by the Vatican. All of this, of course, was a conspiracy to steal the election for the Democrats away from Donald Trump, where we have just massive evidence. Sidney Powell has accumulated massive evidence. Mike Lindell has accumulated massive evidence. All you have to do is to read the Texas lawsuit, which the United States Supreme Court declined to hear. And you can see the states were violating their own strictures, their own laws about how elections are to be conducted, where the governors and the secretaries of state were introducing methods that were ad hoc and not approved by the legislature, when the Constitution clearly calls out that legislatures are the designated entities under the Constitution to determine how electoral votes are to be cast. I say, if you have any doubts about it, you can go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and check out the Texas lawsuit, which spells it out just elegantly, just as clearly as it could be, how the states of Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin all violated their own laws. And we do have now reports from multiple different states of, investigations being conducted, some in Pennsylvania, some in Georgia, some in Michigan, some in Arizona, that I believe are going to lead to detailed, extensive confirmation of the theft of the election, only it will not be remotely timely, which is why the Supreme Court's abdication of its responsibility was such a disgrace, a stain on the court that will endure forever, because they abandoned their obligation to uphold the Constitution and to defend the rights of the American people under the law. I was shocked. But we're seeing methods proceed apace. There's no indication Russia or Iran, for that matter, had anything to do with it. Biden is quite busy, spokeswoman says, after Russia's Putin challenges U.S. leader to live to a live, unscripted debate amidst the deepening rift. Right. He's quite busy taking naps. I mean, this guy really is unbelievably unqualified, incapable of carrying the burden of the task, and where he appears to be suffering from so many problems that he can't even walk up the stairs to enter an airplane without falling three different times. Very serious. Unsurprisingly, the White House rejected the call, which Candace was claimed for obvious mental health reasons, referring to what many conservatives perceive as a decline in Biden's health, in his energy and wits. I think it was a terrific thing she did, a very good move. There was a comment from one about her invitation. All done. Let's be honest. If he accepted, it would be the most cringe-inducing, embarrassing, and yet also entertaining thing ever to be broadcast on TV. Meanwhile, and this is to me rather stunning, we have a flash war update that Russia checkmates the West. Who are the most censored people on the planet? The answer might surprise you, because it's us. This is a program where tonight they were discussing Ukraine, Russia, NATO, England, World War III, Earth changes. According to inside sources, the war is now on between Russia and Ukraine and will soon expand to a direct confrontation with NATO forces, where all parties are building up their military machines, yet nary a word to the American press. Really, to the American people, because the press serves as a buffer. The news is hard to vet, but we must report what appears to be totally censored news to alert those watching events unfold as we move closer, it now appears we will have war and then a peace accord. Perhaps the old Oslo Accords will be dusted off and enforced by Antichrist forces, according to Best and Taylor. Meanwhile, we know the situation at the southern border is a complete and utter catastrophe. We have the Border Patrol releasing illegal immigrants into the U.S. without even setting a court date. In other words, it's like a catch-and-release program. Because the filling out of the forms takes hours, and because there's such a massive surge, they're simply skipping the formalities and allowing these migrants entry into the United States without even stipulating a court date, and we will never see or hear from them again, at least in any legal context. Meanwhile, Representative Pat Fallon, a Republican from Texas, has explained Biden is handing the border over to the drug cartels. The Biden administration's open border policies are handing control of the U.S. southern border to the Mexican drug cartels, according to Representative Fallon. Ask yourself this question. Do you want the federal government to oversee and secure the border? Or do you want the Mexican drug cartels to run it? Because right now, the Mexican drug cartels de facto are controlling our southern border. Fallon said, opening our borders to mass migration is unlike the old 1800s America, where the conditions were far more difficult. It's very clear that you can't have both an open border and a welfare state. You just can't, because it's going to overwhelm the system. When you have 5 million trying to get into the country legally, and we're allowing people to cut the line and mass unlawful migration, it's un-American and extremely damaging to the nation. Let's be really clear. It's the Biden border crisis, he said. He is a proud, deplorable Neanderthal, referencing Hillary Clinton's smear of Republican Trump supporters as Neanderthal, and Biden's quip against Texas for lifting face mask mandates as Neanderthal thinking. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is permitting COVID-19 positive migrants to enter the country without being detained, tested, or quarantined. Apparently, they're not following the science, Fallon lamented. It definitely makes no sense whatsoever. They're just trying to appease a radical progressive leftist base at the expense of the American people. This is not leadership. This is weakness. This is not putting America first. In fact, even the Mexican government has acknowledged that Trump had a handle on the migrant crisis, which includes, of course, having the migrants wait in Mexico until they could be processed. That the calamity here is obvious to everyone, and where Governor Abbott of Texas is even observing that the Biden administration will not tell Texas officials how many illegals entering the state have coronavirus. And I don't doubt that's because they have no idea. They don't know, and they don't care. So you have to ask yourself, is the coronavirus real or is it fake? Remember, there was no concern about the coronavirus being spread when Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots were taking place during the summer, including arson and looting, and most definitely no social distancing. Instead, Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Maxine Waters were egging them on. Now, it's also very clear, therefore, whenever an event takes place that they believe in, that they want to promote politically, coronavirus just doesn't figure into the equation. We have reports from Team Biden that when the coronavirus hit, that they regarded it as God's gift to the Biden campaign, because it meant Trump would be precluded from conducting his massive rallies, that they'd have a pretext for explaining their Biden in the basement campaign strategy, where Biden himself would have been embarrassed because he couldn't draw a handful of people to a rally, nor has he, by the way, since becoming president, with his so-called tour across America to promote the stimulus relief package, appears to have fallen completely flat because nobody cares. Nobody was turning out. Everyone is aware that this is a fraudulent administration, that it's not legitimate, that the man who couldn't win a single caucus or a single primary in 35 years of running for president until South Carolina, when Google came to his aid by sending vote reminders to get out and vote for the Vice President Barack Obama to all the Democratic black voters on their list. No one in the world who understands American politics seriously believes that Joe Biden won more votes than any other candidate in history. And the having of this completely incompetent pair in office is having tremendously damaging repercussions, not only because of the incompetence domestically, but because other nations are looking at the United States with contempt. This is not how the leader of the free world is supposed to act, where Biden has been canceling meetings. No foreign leaders are even eager to meet with him. And such contact as has taken place has been conducted by the vice president in gross disregard for protocol. Well, here's a doozy. Biden administration considers flying migrants to states near the Canadian border for processing. A new spike in the number of families and children crossing the Rio Grande into South Texas over the past several hours is forcing the U.S. Customs and Border Protection to request airplanes to allow the Biden administration to transport migrants to states near the Canadian border for processing. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. The air transport plan is the latest measure in the Biden administration's scramble to contend with a widening emergency that officials say they do not view as a crisis, but rather as a stressful challenge. Right, right. A stressful challenge. Get that. Parents, because there are so many parents with children, the question has become, too, whether the government would be able to furnish them with winter clothing. But I tell you, states like Montana, South Dakota, and Michigan, where the Border Patrol has fewer staff members and general smaller facilities, are not going to welcome this influx of migrants from Latin and South America. I mean, it's completely stunning. And I think that this may well be the straw that broke the camel's back. What we are witnessing is the implementation of the Calergy plan for the genocide of the white people of Europe, where Richard Calgary was a Jewish banker who founded the Pan-European movement in 1922, where he wanted to promote multiculturalism, not for Israel, not for Jews, but for the whites of Western Europe, by bringing vast numbers of Africans into Europe. And of course, the expectation would be not that they're going to adapt to the culture and customs, but they're going to destroy them, that there will be race mixing, and that in general it will deteriorate the quality of the cultures of Europe. And now we're seeing the same thing being performed here, right here in the USA. I guarantee you this is the Calgary plan applied to the United States by transporting those from Latin and South America And I'm given to understand even some who are imported from distant lands into the United States. And anyone who has a serious doubt about it ought to recognize that the Bibi Netanyahu in 2020 made the following observation, that America is the golden calf, and that we're going to suck it dry until there's nothing left but a gigantic welfare state, because that's what we do with nations that we hate. Well, the Democrats may think it's just dandy to give all kinds of benefits to hordes that are entering the United States illegally, where the latest reports I have is they're even being put up in hotels along the border at taxpayer expense. But just as the Texas representative, congressman, was observing, you cannot have a welfare state and unlimited migration, because it will destroy the economy. It cannot be supported. It is not sustainable. Clearly, that is the case. Meanwhile, new polls are bad news for Democrats and their election reform bill. Voters don't like it. Some on the right side of the aisle have said that their election reform bill for the People Act was inappropriately named. Senator Mike Lee, for example, went a bit further, suggesting the voter expansion bill is as if written in hell by the devil himself. This is the first bill tabled in the House as H.R. 1, which was passed with a 220 to 210 party line vote, which involves abolishing all of the kinds of safeguards and restraints we would have on voting, where there'd be no voter ID requirement, where there'd be mail-in balloting on a massive scale, and where the ballots could be received 10 days after the election date to guarantee the Democrats can continue to steal election after election, just as they did in 2020. Two recent polls show the vast majority of Americans not only support voter ID to cast a ballot, but voter ID laws actually boost their confidence in the electoral system. A Rasmussen survey of March 14th and 15th shows 75% of likely U.S. voters think voters should have to show a valid government-issued ID, such as a driver's license, in order to cast a ballot. Support for voter ID laws has actually increased since 2018. When 67% said voters should be required to show voter ID. 98% of Republicans support voter ID, 60% of Democrats, 77% of independents. Democrats have claimed voter ID laws discriminate against black voters and other minorities, but voters reject that claim by a nearly 2-to-1 margin, 60%. Say laws requiring photo identification at the polls do not discriminate, while 31% claim they do. A majority of Democrats say voter ID laws are discriminatory, 51%, but 79% of Republicans and 67% of independents say requiring identification at the polls is not discriminatory. Majorities of whites, 74%, blacks, 69%, and other minorities, 82%, say voters should be required to show voter identification before being allowed to vote, where voters under 40 support the ID laws more than do other voters. So we have further support from yet another poll, including the following findings. 43% of voters have not heard of H.R. 1. 65% of Americans believe requiring voters to show photo ID would increase their confidence in election. 85% of Americans agree to some degree it's common sense to require a photo ID before voting. 76% even of Democrats believe that voter ID laws are common sense. 78% of Democrats, upon hearing that H.R. 1 makes it harder to implement voter ID, 24% of voters changed their opinion to strongly oppose the passage of the bill. 63% think mail-in ballots should be sent only to those who request them. 85% agree that if a voter registers in a new state, there should be a way to check if the voter is still registered elsewhere. 57% strongly favor laws requiring regular clearing of voter rolls, meaning purging for those who are deceased or who have moved to a new location. 51% strongly favor mail-in ballots needing to be received by election day. So they may have a hard sell with their voter election law. Meanwhile, we have some bizarre events going on in higher education. Columbia University appears to be returning to segregation. They're going to have multicultural graduation ceremonies. Pretty damn strange. They're going to have Native, Asian, Latino, and Black graduations as options where students can register, as well as a lavender graduation for the LGBTQ community and a ceremony for first-generation and low-income students, where we're also learning that colleges are dropping the SAT and ACT requirements. I mean, this is absolutely stunning, including at Ivy League schools. I am shocked. One commentator suggests, what's up? Why should anyone fail anymore? Just give them a pass. Any student who gives a minority a failing grade should be fired on the spot. Better yet, just let kids grade themselves. When we return from the break, I'm very pleased to be featuring Sophia Smallstorm. I'm delighted to have her here today as a guest on The Raw Deal. We'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my guest today is among the most intelligent and perceptive of all my colleagues in research on false flags, conspiracies, and current events. She has a very original cast of mind. She's not easily taken in, and she frequently cuts to the heart of the matter when others have missed. Sophia Smallstorm, welcome to The Raw Deal.
Hi, Jim. Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little up on the volume would be good.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't really gotten going yet this morning, but it's nice to get going with Dr. Jim Fetzer. And you're always kind to describe me as highly intelligent, but I would just say I'm an average schmo, you know?
I don't think so, Sophia. We should be so lucky that everyone should have your abilities. That would be a different world indeed.
Jim, I just heard you say that they're going to let students grade themselves.
No, the point is that was a parody of what's going on here, that the Ivy League schools are dropping the ACT and the SAT, and they're going to go purely qualitative, as it were. And the author here was just expressing his dim view, you know. And where they're even discounting grade point averages as having been affected by the COVID crisis. So he was simply expressing a touch of sarcasm with which I wholeheartedly agree.
All right. Well, let's carry right into one of the things I brought up to you when we last spoke by phone, which is it kind of fits in with this. You know, I did not know that in 1976, Gerald Ford signed the National Emergencies Act. And that gives the president, whoever is the president, 136 special powers that Wikipedia calls sweeping and dramatic. And only 13 of them require a declaration from Congress. So by his word alone, the president of the United States instantly becomes some kind of magical being in a kingdom where he can stamp his foot and make things happen on his whim. So apparently, as of March 2020, 60 national emergencies are in continuity, since March 2020, 60 national emergencies were declared, more than 30 of which remain in effect. So as of March last year, and now we're 2021, what this Wikipedia, it's weirdly written, but they're saying that we've got 30 national emergencies still in effect, declared by all kinds of presidents, renewed by presidents every year. And I'm going to tell you something. Jimmy Carter, a national emergency titled Blocking Iranian Government Property, which followed the 1979 hostage crisis, the Iran hostage crisis. It has been renewed 39 times by six different presidents. It's still going on. And this particular national emergency, all these very political ones, they relate to situations in foreign countries, which if the president declares there to be some kind of emergency around some kind of foreign country's activities, then the United States gets to continue to impose sanctions on that country. So now we know why the Jimmy Carter emergency concerning Iran has never gone out of style.
It's just appalling, Sophia. All these ought to be rescinded. They ought to have automatic termination dates. Giving more and more powers to the president is less and less democratic. It preempts the role of the legislature and the checks and balances by the executive. It's highly, in my judgment, unconstitutional, and that shit should continue is only because no one is calling it to account within a legal forum where the issue might be addressed. Although I must say that just as the Supreme Court failed to take up the Texas case on behalf of the American people, they could very well decline not to take up a case on this extremely vital issue as well. I'm just so disappointed in the institutions of the United States, which have been failing us on every hand.
But look at how creative this is, because so the emergency has an expiry. It expires 12 months after it's declared, unless whoever's president renews it. So Congress can end it, or the president can end it, but when the 12 months are up, they of course never do that. They just renew it. So you know that Trump declared whatever emergency, however it was named, of a coronavirus emergency in March 2020, right? Because we're 2021.
Yeah.
And you know
yeah.
that the Biden brand has renewed it. And so this, I'm reading from Harper's Magazine, the July 2020 issue, through which I found this out. Congress has never successfully used this power, the power to end the emergency, all right? And the executive branch has allowed fewer than half of the 65 emergencies declared under the law to lapse. Thus, Trump's national emergency concerning the novel coronavirus outbreak joined a list of 34 ongoing national emergencies, the oldest of which is that executive order signed by Carter over Iran. Now, here's what's happening, Jim. Many people are happy to hear that there are at least three states and more might be joining the list. Lawyers in various states have filed lawsuits demanding the state to prove that COVID-19 continues to be an emergency. And some people say you can't have an emergency that lasts for a year. It's no longer an emergency. Emergencies are quick, right? It's like a candle flame flaring. But so I spoke to one of these lawyers, Anna Garner, I think her name is, from New Mexico. She has filed to have the state of New Mexico prove that there's an emergency concerning COVID. And I let her know, and I am letting anyone who's interested and has any contact with these lawyers filing these suits in all these different states, all that the states need to do is point to the federal declaration and say, sorry, the federal government, the president said there is an emergency and it continues to be renewed, so there's an emergency. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes.
So this is a game of Simon Says. If Simon says there's an emergency, Simon being the president, then the states can say there's an emergency. We don't have to prove there is one because our president says there is one. So this is, I mean, I wanted just to bring this to people's attention. Go to Wikipedia, look up the National Emergency Act of 1976 and just read what's there.
You're talking about how these emergency powers become distributed among the states by virtue of this constant reiteration, reaffirmation, reauthorization at the federal level.
Well, the states only have to say, we don't have to prove there's an emergency because our chief, the president, has said there is one. This is my, I'm not a lawyer, but I would say that's the quickest defense. You know, if the president says there is an emergency, then there's an emergency, and we'll make people do this and do that. This is a game of Simon Says, Jim.
Yes. Yes.
Now, what I wanted to get into a little bit today is what I'm learning about biocomputing. Oh my gosh, it's wild. They are, I don't know if you know, I should actually turn on my other computer so that I have all of this at hand. Because I didn't realize I didn't have it printed out. But Jim, do you know that they can write on DNA? That this is the most effective, sustainable form of computation? Because what's happened in modern computing, it's called von Neumann, N-E-U-M-A-N-N, computing, where you have to toggle between a storage section of the computer and then a processor, right? You've heard of those, such and such computer has such and such processor, and it's better than this brand or that kind. And so in our computing, it's a very laborious process. It's not dynamic. You have to move data from the storage to the processing and back to the storage. So what they discovered is that they have learned to make synthetic DNA. And on one speck of DNA, they can put loads of information. I mean, for instance, the DNA in your body is replicated in every cell. And it contains all these instructions, the instructions that are required to make you and maintain you. On 1 gram of synthetic DNA, they now know how to write millions of megabytes of information they can put on 1 gram of DNA. And they've taken a piece of DNA, a speck, and what they have uploaded to that, I use the term upload because it's a little more shocking, they have put a movie onto DNA. Just grasp this. Roll it around in your mind. A movie, an Amazon gift card uploaded to DNA. A full computer operating system, as well as a computer virus and a couple of reports. They fit on one speck of DNA. What do you think of that?
One speck of DNA.
Carries all of that. And what DNA does is it does parallel computing, which they haven't figured out how to do in real computers yet. This is called in-storage computing. So in our von Neumann-style computers, the data has to be taken out of storage and then worked, manipulated in the processor section in order to do anything with it. And then it has to be transferred back to storage. So this is, I mean, we're paying like, as far as functionality is concerned, huge penalties with this very sort of like lugubrious, clumsy way of handling data. And what we would prefer would be in storage or in memory computing, which is also known as parallel computing. Now, DNA does that. DNA, billions of years old in terms of its styling, can do this computing simultaneously. It can work in the storage area and the processing area. So artificial DNA is being made, and they know how to write in terms of nucleotides. So it's very interesting. I'll just tell you this because you're the professor of logic. So you know what binary code is, right? Zeros and ones. So the way that they make data translate into binary code is they just assign strings of zeros and ones to describe like different letters of the alphabet or different shades of color or whatever. And then that goes across a line, data information, like a fax machine, telephone line carries the zeros and ones pertaining to the white and black sections of the image that's being faxed. And then it's decoded on the other side. So what they've done with DNA is there are four nucleotides that make up DNA. They're called adenine, guanine, cytosine, I think it is, and thymine. So they're denoted by the letters A, C, T, and G. So there are four units, And when those units are combined in different arrangements, that is, that constitutes biological data. So A, adenine, in binary code becomes 00, cysteine becomes 01, guanine 10, and thymine 11. All right. So that's how they can translate biological code into binary code. They just change their binary allocations of this describes this, their digitizations of information into letters. And now they have material that they can put onto synthetic DNA, which they've learned how to make in a lab, and which is stored in a little thimble. So the first hard drive produced by IBM was 60 years ago. And if you can picture two upright pianos jammed back to back, that's how big it was. It weighed 1 ton. It cost a huge amount of money, and it only could hold one MP3 song. So yeah, if you compare that to what we have today in terms of chips and cards and whatnot, thumb drives even, and how much they hold, the DNA blows all this away, and it's indestructible, and it doesn't require new forms of reading. You read it the same way. If they could have read it, you know, 5,000 years ago, it would have been the same stuff. It's not like, you know, floppy disks are replaced by those 3-inch disks, are replaced by thumb drives. I mean, that doesn't happen. There's no obsolescence, if that's the word. So they know how to write on DNA. They know how to upload stuff onto DNA. And that's what they're going to use for computation in the future. It's called biocomputation. And you know what Moore's law is, right?
Go ahead.
Moore's law is known by people in IT. And it is basically that processing power doubles every 18 months relative to cost and size. So we have seen Moore's law on steroids when you compare the giant, lousy hard drive size of two pianos that only held one song to the stuff we have now. And when you compare what we have now to what they can do on DNA, they can actually write on DNA. And that's where they're going to be writing. They're going to be writing on synthetic DNA, which is lab created, because it's indestructible. It'll last thousands of years.
Well, I think there's a tie-in here with the current COVID crisis and all that, and the mRNA vaccines, where it appears to me, not only is it the case that these vaccines don't qualify as medicine, they're certainly not traditional vaccines, which introduce a weak version of a health hazard so that the body can develop its own antibodies, but instead introduces changes to our DNA that actually seem to render our immune systems weaker, not stronger, contrary to the advertising. The actual effects of these so-called vaccination appear to be precisely the opposite of how they're marketed. But what seems to me to be crucial from the more broad philosophical perspective, Sophia, is that you began talking about von Neumann machines and, of course, you know, binary code and all that. Well, these machines, classic digital machines based on binary code, these classic von Neumann machines function as causal systems based on high and low voltage or zeros and ones, which mean nothing. They mean nothing to the machine. In other words, the programmers who program the machines based on binary code using not typically machine language, but a higher level language, because writing in machine language is so tedious and demanding, know what they want the machine to do given its complex causal arrangement. But the machine, for the machine, it doesn't mean anything. The machine is merely an inanimate object incapable of thought, which is something that I, you know, explored in my philosophical research on minds and machines, even as I founded the International Journal on Cognitive Science, Philosophy, and Artificial Intelligence. The upshot being the following. human beings think in terms of signs, which are things that stand for other things in some respect or other for the sign user. But for the machines, what they're processing doesn't function as signs. It doesn't stand for anything for the machine. What this means is that while you can create better and better digital machines to more closely simulate human thought and behavior, it never attains the capacity of getting over the gap between, you know, the strings of zeros and ones as meaningless marks and things that actually mean something for the machine. What this means, in other words, is you cannot turn a digital machine into a thinking thing. So I believe what has happened is there's been a reversal in the agenda to change human beings, which are already thinking things, into something more like a machine, and that these vaccinations are in large part, though not exclusively, measures taken in that direction, where they're going to introduce ways by which you could even be remotely affected. Your own body could be remotely affected by means of the mechanisms they're introducing into your system along the lines of just what you were describing, Sophia, in terms of these entities that are capable of performing computational-like actions, but in any case can perform, whether they're computational or not, causal influence on human beings, not only affecting their immune system, but even their mind-brain interface, so they can even affect, I think, how we think and how we work and how we act. It's a monstrous agenda, in my opinion, and should not be allowed, where we know, of course, that these vaccines are causing a massive amount of death, and yet it's not being properly reported. It's stunning when you look at the figures, but we're being told they're safe and effective when they're actually anything but, and where there are three classic criteria for the administration of vaccines that are not being satisfied. Number one, that the vaccine must be known to be safe and effective. Number two, that those who are receiving the vaccine are given complete informed consent, not only about the risks and hazards, as well as the benefits of the vaccine, but also the available alternatives, which in this case would include HCQ and Internexin, which is both of which are non-invasive in the sense they don't require a needle to be stuck into your arm. And third, that the risks of the disease that you're seeking to vaccinate are greater than the risks from the vaccine you're receiving, none of which are satisfied in this case, which means we're being subjected to a monstrous hoax. And I think you're really talking about the more advanced levels where they can exercise, you know, control over biological systems by means of developments that were originally based upon computers and computer technology. Sophia.
Oh, Jim, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. Yeah, oh, you were on mute. Yeah,
I must have been on mute. I didn't even see. I had my cursor over the mute. Okay, Jim, I have so much to say. When is the break going to bump me off?
Oh, you've got, we got about 4 minutes before the break, but then we have all the time after that. So.
Promise me you'll let me talk a lot in the second half hour. Okay. So, Jim, what they have done is, you have just described in a beautifully professorial way a concept called reductionism. So they have reduced, and they have been interested in reducing biology to mere machinery. They have studied biology through their atomic microscopes, their electron microscopes, and they have seen how the tiny little phenomenally active, let's just call them, and dynamic components perform. And they are translating this into machine activity and thinking of it as such, all right? So yes, they will be reducing humans down into simple computing entities. And ultimately, we will not be able to control our destiny. I'm loosely quoting a guy called Anthony Patch. Look him up on the internet. He gives these long, they're like sermon discussions about what's happening. And he's very good at quantum computing and looking at how it interfaces with or applies to this biocomputing and biological activities that they have started to fiddle with. All right, so now synthetic biocomputers are being injected into people by these so-called smart vaccines. And what I learned through my friend Jenny Lake, you can look at her blog, jenniferlake.wordpress.com, and some of my own thinking, that there are two kinds of viruses, Jim. There's the mythological virus, which is like, oh, polio, it's lurking in a pond, and if you swim in that pond, you'll be crippled. That's the mythological virus. There are no viruses that cause disease in my mind. And then, I'm not even going to tell you what viruses do, in my opinion, in real life, but in the lab, they are definitely busy with viruses. And what I found out what lab viruses are, they are basically crystalline filtrates. Anything biological can be rendered or reduced, to use that term reductionism, down into its proteinaceous components, which if they are rendered deep, 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 deep down to their most essence, they will be a crystalline protein. And this is what they've done in labs. They have taken plant material, they have taken human tissue, they have taken all kinds of organic material and filtered it and what they call purified it and done all kinds of reduction techniques to it. And they get a crystalline filtrate, which, because crystals are what they are. They are intelligent, inorganic forms of material. They have learned how to write on these crystals, and they call these viruses, and they put these in vaccines. And these bits of crystalline material with information on them are what are being put in your body in the form of vaccines, not just the new ones, but they have been putting filtrates. They'll tell you it's measles virus. It's not. It's some crystalline, you know, rendering that they've made, and they've learned how to write on it. And they can write on it in biological code that your cell reads. I will explain on the other side of the break what happens in the mRNA vaccine.
Perfect, Sophia. We're here with Sophia Smallstrom. We'll be right back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years.
to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host, where I'm very pleased to have as my featured guest today, Sophia Smallskarm, and I'm hoping she may be induced to stay for questions during the after the bottom of the hour. Sophia, please do continue.
Okay, Jim, thank you. I made an error. I said that in nucleotide words, the C was cysteine, but it's not. It's cytosine. I always get it wrong. So see, I'm not that smart. Anyway, so I was telling everyone what I just learned, and this is a very, very crude simplification, but all the stuff they've been doing in virology is really bio-nanotech. They have been reducing organic material down to these crystalline things, pieces, that are proteinaceous in nature, because proteins build everything. Every single thing that's organic contains proteins in it as structural components. So they know how to write on these crystalline, I'll call them filtrates. They're calling them viruses and they're putting them in vaccines. Because these are like, this is biocomputation that's going in you. So now with the mRNA vaccine, I'm going to make an analogy that helped me understand what it's doing. And this is just the simplest activity. So don't be fooled that this is all that could be happening when you get this messenger RNA vaccine. So the new vaccines are not like the old ones. The old ones were thought of as preventive medicine. This is called genetic medicine, okay? And it actually puts biological instructions. It's rewriting your biological protocols. So picture the mailman coming to your house with an envelope. And he hands you this envelope and he says, there's a letter for you today. And you open the letter and you read what's in it and it has instructions you're supposed to follow. So that's what happens with the mRNA vaccine. The mailman bringing the envelope is the hypodermic needle and the syringe injecting you, right? That's the mailman knocking on your door. So the envelope that the mailman gives you is actually a plant virus. Now, this is not a disease-causing virus. Remember what I just said. This is some crystalline stuff they got out of the tobacco plant. It's called tobacco mosaic virus. This is what they're ubiquitously using now in vaccines. They're called plant-based viruses. So that's the envelope that comes into the body and is presented to the cell by way of the injection. The cell opens the envelope and there's a letter inside. The letter is the mRNA, and the instructions that the mRNA gives are the same as the instructions that you would read if you got a physical letter. And the cell is told by these instructions in this mRNA letter, hey, you need to look at this envelope I came in and put spike proteins on it. And the cell says, all right, I know how to do that. I can make spike proteins. I'm supposed to put them on this envelope? Yes. So the envelope gets a protein coat, and the cell has thought of the envelope as an endosome. It relates it and puts it in the category of its own endosomes that it makes. So we heard exosome from people like Andy Kaufman. Endosome is a cousin of exosome. Endosome means it's made in the cell, and it's one of the first creations in the inflammatory response process that the cell undergoes when there's injury or damage. So the cell says, oh, well, endosome, fine, I'll put some proteins on it. And then, just like, you know, abracadabra, that protein coat that goes on the endosome changes it into an exosome. So the job of the exosome is to go out of the cell and go travel in the blood. And that's what it does. This envelope with these non-traditional, non-biological protocol proteins go. This envelope goes out, this exosome. So the endosome is turned into an exosome. And the exosome floats around the blood, and it, because it's pointed, it has electrical abilities. It's a crystalline thing. So the pointed proteins that the cell makes create the, this is my opinion, the electroporation effect on other cells. The damn thing gets into other cells. And if you read virology, they'll tell you that viruses know how to enter other cells and self-replicate. Well, this is what you've done. You've created a form of coronavirus through this mRNA instruction, and now it's going into other cells, and it's replicating itself and delivering these instructions, and the same thing keeps going on and on. And then down the road, your body finds these things floating around, these exosomic, pointed, jagged things that it made with these foreign instructions. And it says, wait a minute, I don't think this is right. I didn't do this right. Where did I get these instructions? This has to be fixed. And it starts to produce antibodies to this foreign creation that it has made. And that's when you have the autoimmune storm going off in you. So this is just one, maybe it's an incorrect, slightly zigzaggy, incorrect way of putting it, but I'm just trying to give a picture of how this mRNA, these new instructions work.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think your analogies are very effective. It does look as though a lot of damage is being done, and we're even getting a spike in COVID cases in a dozen states that have high vaccination rates, which may signal a health catastrophe. In other words, it looks as though those who are getting the highest number of inoculations are also now having a surge in COVID, which reinforces that it's not actually protecting you. There was a very interesting interview with Anthony Fauci that I published on my blog at jamesvetzer.org, where he was acknowledging that it actually doesn't cure the virus, nor does it prevent the transmission of the virus. In claiming you even have to continue wearing masks, which are damaging to your health in any case, because they not only cut off your supply of oxygen to your brain and other organs, including your cardiovascular system, but the wearing of masks builds up bacteria that'll cause bacterial pneumonia infections, where Fauci himself and his colleagues in studying the Spanish flu discovered most of the deaths were not from the flu per se, but from bacterial pneumonia, where he has not been emphasizing that wearing masks promotes bacterial pneumonia and therefore will increase the death rate rather than decrease it. Sophia, this is such a monstrous plot because all of the advice they're giving about what to do to protect yourself actually has the effect of weakening your immune system. And that goes right up to the vaccinations you're talking about here in the mRNA methodology. Very bad, very destructive, very harmful to human beings and other living things.
But Jim, they want us to line up for this. And this is biocomputation, synthetic biology going into us. And they want us to line up for it, ask for it, and then to get the repeated updates. They're going to tell you that this vaccine needs to have a booster, you know, 3 months later. And I want to talk about the PCR test as well, because that is not a meaningless test, as some people have been saying. It's not meaningless. It is meaningful. We need to understand once and for all that nothing they're doing is meaningless, okay? They wouldn't spend billions of dollars on it and employ all these people and have all these, you know, trips to Stockholm and seminars and whatnot going on. I mean, all these people in biotech, they're constantly taking trips. They're constantly going to conventions. This is not meaningless. They are working on how to write on the reduced biological parts, which are these crystals. Everything is rendered down to crystal. They know how to write on them, and that's what's forming the basis of the new genetic medicine, because they're after they distill everything down to its most basic componentry, they want to activate that componentry with their own experimentation and then reintroduce it into the organic system. That's what these vaccines are. These are smart vaccines.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the other thing...
they can do tremendous damage, unfortunately.
And it's not even damage. Jim, there are so many people now that... I was talking to someone about this, a very, very brilliant woman the other day that I had the honor to speak with. And she said, you know, after you're telling me this, it makes me think that they have enough people, enough population, that they can experiment on us with confidence. They are looking at a large pool of people who will, out of fear, they've led us to believe we have a pandemic and a virus and all of this, and we will ask for this smart injection of biocomputation into our bodies. They want us to ask for it. Now, the PCR test, Jim, you know, they have some NBA players getting this thing every day. They're tested every day. They're going to, Newsom gave billions to the California school system so they can prepare for COVID. And what he's really talking about is this QR code. They're going to have children getting a QR code every day to be able to attend school. This business of reopening the schools is to reopen them with all this demonstration conducted on and through children that they're healthy. The bio passport. And every day you'll have to have some PCR test. And PCR tests, one of the things that they sample for is human chromosome 8. So when this came out about 3 months ago, everybody got all excited on the internet and they said, well, it's a no-brainer. We all have chromosome 8 because we all have human chromosomes. And so everybody's going to test positive for the PCR test. I looked into chromosome 8 because I did not know what it was exactly. And it's the chromosome relating to brain development. So I thought to myself, all right, what they're doing is this PCR test. If you look at all the other nucleotide strings and information, biological data that the PCR test gropes around for, to me, it's a biological sampling. And if they do this on a consistent enough basis, they can upload to the blockchain information about you, your most recent brain development pattern, let's just call it, or status. They look for all different nucleotide strings in you, and they are building, each time you take that test, they are building a genomic map of you. This is your digital twin, your bio-digital twin on the blockchain. They can look at that and they can see how you're made and who you are. And this genomic map of you is going to be their, it's like a mirror image in digital data that they have of you.
Yes.
So then they get to see how you are and who you are. And the more people line up for this test and want their QR codes to show that they're biologically non-hazardous, this is the thinking they're giving us, that all of biology is hazardous and we have to protect ourselves from it. But they're building this genomic map of individuals. And then they can tailor vaccination. Like if you go to get your monthly COVID vaccine booster shot, they'll look at your genomic map in the clinic that you go to, and they can, you know, spritz out a vaccine tailored exactly to you, because the idea here, the underlying idea, is to standardize. Again, it's this reduction. They're going to standardize us, cut us down into unit form that can be then integrated with artificial intelligence. This is the futurist dream, to merge man with machine. But the best way to do that is to get all of man standardized and reduced so that the dovetailing, the joinder, can take place easily.
Well, I think you're right. The more they know about us, especially genetically, the more they're in the position to bring about, to manipulate us to their heart's content. They can utilize the laws of biology, neurobiology, and the rest in order to affect our behavior in ways that benefit them. I actually believe that autism is deliberate. We know the correlation with the increased use of vaccines. You, I believe, have a lot of thoughts about this, but it turns out autistic kids are better at repetitive activity in a non-tiresome way. In other words, it makes them more robotic. And when a cure for autism was discovered, companies bought it up to get it off the market so the kids couldn't be cured. Where I've heard projections that at the rate autism is developing in the United States, by 2050, half of our kids will be autistic. That's just one illustration of the kind of power we're talking about, to be able to influence the outcome of human behavior by their manipulation of our DNA.
Yes, you're right. I mean, there are so many ways you can, so many lenses through which you can look to see this thing. And it's, you know what it reflects to me? I mean, I think of AI, it stands for artificial intelligence, but I came up with other things that that AI could stand for. And one of them is abnormal intention.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just dropping that. That's a little bomb for you to think about. This is, you know, Jim, how can these people in these labs doing, I mean, I know they all are very, very, what's the word? They're very insular, and they have their little mouse gene to work on for however many years. And they're cut off. They don't see. They have like a microscopic existence doing microscopic work. But it is amazing to me that they don't sit down and think about, oh, I'm writing on DNA. I mean, just the idea of uploading an Amazon gift card to DNA, isn't that kind of weird?
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, yes. Go ahead, yes.
So the pairing of what they're doing, they don't think about. I mean, one of these days, Jim, they're not going to have hard drives. You'll go to, for your personal data, you know, they'll sell you a little speck of DNA and they'll say, look, here, just put all your information on this. It's large enough. A gram of DNA can hold all the data that man has ever created. And they're also saying, Jim, they don't want to destroy data anymore because, you know, future generations, this is, look, what have we had to work with? Some rotting, crumbling stones with carvings on them, odds and ends that archaeologists find, and we have to put a picture together of how the past was from this, bits and pieces, that most of which have been destroyed. Well, hey, if we keep all our data, so that means one day you won't be able to delete an email. You won't be able to delete any data because they want you to save it all for future generations. So future generations know exactly what we were like. So you might have no more hard drives. You might have some DNA in your armpit, and that will be safe. You can carry it. And we can make trillions of copies of DNA. It's very easy to copy and back up. And anybody can read it. You know, like 500 years from now, they can read it just as easily as they read it today. And they will say, just all data is going on DNA now. And you can carry your own and keep it safe. You won't even need a computer. You might just blink and the DNA is activated and you see everything that you need to see on it. Or put on a pair of glasses and look at what's on your in your armpit, you know, on your biological hard drive. And they swear to us they're not writing on real DNA and they're not putting it inside people. But we know that anything they tell us, they're already 50 years ahead of that, right?
Yes, yes.
So these are things we have to think about. The PCR test is a DNA grab. Oh, I forgot to mention this company, BGI Genetics. This is a company based in China. And if you look it up, its aim, its mission is to build the largest human genome database that has ever existed. So they're after all genomic data from all of humanity. And guess what? The BGI Genetics PCR test was approved by the FDA in 2020. So they too have a PCR test. What do you think their test is going to do? It's a DNA grab.
Well, the PCR test basically is a way of multiplying a small sample to get a larger sample. I mean, Kerry Mullis, who is the inventor, was very specific that it wasn't really a diagnostic instrument. It was for research, really, to give you a larger sample to study. And I think that it has been subjected to a lot of abuse. You know, the number of cycles you use for a PCR makes a huge difference to the outcome. And it's been done at such a high number of cycles that some 97% of the positive results using the PCR test turn out to be false positives. So I don't think that it's been used properly, but it has been to promote the idea that there's a huge pandemic when in fact the evidence suggests there isn't, that it's all a mind game. We had a study that slipped through the cracks from Johns Hopkins showing for various age groups that there'd been no increase in deaths from 2020, from 2019. Indicating evidence that was inconsistent with there being a pandemic. And moreover, if there were lots of hospitalizations, that would have increased the demand for oxygen tents and for IV drips and stands. But there was no surge or increase in the sale of oxygen tanks or IV drips and stands, which lends powerful support for the hypothesis that it's all a fabrication. That it's more Hollywood, which seems to be affecting virtually every aspect of our lives, but in this case, with evil intent. Because, as you've observed in passing, depopulation is a very important part of this. The Great Reset being yet another, where essentially a small number of plutocrats are eager to control the entirety of planet Earth, want us to surrender all of our property and assets in return for their paying off our mortgages, credit cards, and student loans, and to subscribe to an ongoing regimen of vaccinations where if we're resistant, we're going to be viewed as public health menaces or enemies and put into FEMA camps. And where I'm convinced, Sophia, that if it continues, if you hold out, if you continue to resist, their ultimate solution is to separate your head from your body, making guillotines made in, guess where, China. This is the Great Reset. But if they don't get enough of the population under control and diminish the vastly, where Ted Turner, among its supporters, has called for a 95% reduction in the world's population. I mean, we're talking about 5 or 6 billion people being extinguished from planet Earth. They're not going to succeed. And right now there's a resistance to the vaccine on the order of 47%, which I support 100%. I mean, really, circumstances do not warrant getting the vaccination. And Sophia is here laying out more of the consequences therefrom. Continue.
Jim, if it's true that the PCR test, I don't think it's primary use. It's ostensible use is to diagnose for COVID, but its primary, its main use is to grab your genomic information. All right. Now, I found out that the DNA molecule, being a biocomputer, copies itself into every cell. It can degrade, but because all cells contain copies of it, it can be read. That's called sequencing, by looking at all the copies and averaging out what you read on them. So that is why I believe they're over-amplifying the PCR cycles. They're just multiplying what they're reading and averaging out what they're seeing, right? And that's how they build your genome onto their blockchain. And this digital twin, Jim, I heard from a very competent researcher. We were talking about the digital twin that they're building of you. This thing, this digital twin, is going to be so much like you, and there's going to be so much radio frequency signaling going on, that this digital entity that's a replica of you could be able to communicate with you such that you cannot differentiate it between yourself. So when you hear, you know how when you get an idea, your brain just says, oh, well, why don't try this? That could be your digital self talking to you, and you wouldn't know it because it's so much like you. It's an identical copy of you on the blockchain.
Sophia, I'm just delighted by inference that you're willing to hang around to take questions and continue your discussion of these matters. The number to call in is 540-352-4452. Mitchell will handle your call, and you can join Sophia and me in the discussion of these aspects of these issues, some of which are rather esoteric, but nonetheless important. So please, after the break, call in. We're going to be here waiting to hear from you, but also more from Sophia Smallstorm, whom I'm so pleased to feature here today on The Raw Deal.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Ah.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh, this is Jim Fetzer, your host, where there are so many demands on Sophia's time. She may not be here long, but I'm pleased to have Saul from Colorado on the phone. Saul, go ahead.
Hi, Jim and Sophia. It's hard to imagine that there's someone that can even eclipse a lot of the important things that Jim is telling us. I have a couple questions. In 2018, I got a tetanus shot. Now, do you think, Sophia, that the tetanus shot, since it's part of their big plan, like all of this stuff is, has any of the mRNA or any other properties that are similar to these mRNA structured injections like the flu shot or anything like that? And Sophia, would you please tell us after you answer where the best places to find what you're doing are, or if you have any radio shows. Thank you.
Oh, hi. Well, first of all, I know it's very worrisome to think about your history, vaccination history, especially if you got something recently. And I mean, we get a tetanus shot whenever we step on a nail or cut ourselves, they tell you to do this. So I don't know what's in what kind of vaccines and how long they've been doing this, but you have to remember that the act of being vaccinated is a very unnatural act. There's a medical word called effraction. It's the old English word for breaking in. And that's what a hypodermic is doing. It's the equivalent of a snake fang, and it's putting toxic forms of proteins. When a venomous snake bites you, it puts in very highly active neurotoxins designed to tear your tissues down inside. So these vaccines are an intrusion, breaking in into the body, and they're putting complex oil and protein molecules in your bloodstream, which causes a surge of the Th2 immune system. That's just the normal result of being vaccinated. Your Th2 immune system overreacts. It starts producing a lot of counteractive material antibodies. So if it's been 2 years and you're not feeling so bad, maybe you got away with something not so evil, right? I'll just use that word. But it's not going to help you to worry about it. And, they have told us that these mRNA vaccines are from now forward. But I've heard from people that, no, they've been doing this already. That's all I can tell you. I mean, there's no way for me to know. And you know, just hope for the best, right?
That's all we can do.
Yes. So, and then, of course, don't line up for more of this. Because from now onward, they're going to popularize this mRNA. There are people out there who actually think that biological rewriting, biohacking, this is what should happen. They think this is going to be a good thing for them. You don't want your computer hacked. Why would you want to be hacked on the cellular level? And so what this really is cellular colonization. And when Jim was talking about punishment that will be, you know, inflicted on people who buck the system, I believe they're going to create a caste system, C-A-S-T-E. You know, I found out the British created the caste system in India. It wasn't germane to Hindu culture at all. And so the caste system we will experience will be those who are vaccinated and, you know, COVID compliant and those who aren't. So we have that to look forward to. You want to know where to find out what I do. I have a monthly newsletter. You can go to sophiasmallstorm.com. That's my blog. And remember, my name is Sophia with an F. And you can sign up for my newsletter. It's by subscription. So you just have to send in a small donation and you will get newsletters. And this is where I literally type out everything, put it in essay form. It's entertaining and it goes out once a month in hard copy. Or you just look for radio shows. Or if Jim is nice, he'll have me on again.
Absolutely, with high probability. Saul, excellent questions. Do you have more for Sophia, or do you have your answers?
I have my answers, but if for some of you that don't know, Sophia is in Canada.
No.
Are you not in Canada? Get out. Okay, I didn't realize you got out of there.
I was never in Canada. I've never been there in my life.
No kidding. I don't know why I thought you were in Canada. Maybe I read something that said you were Canadian. So,
no, there's CA.
Sorry for not that.
Yeah, maybe the California abbreviation CA. Somebody said I was in CA, and that's also a Canada abbreviation. No, I'm not in Canada. Winter? No.
Okay. So I guess the next question is since we know that they were able to imprison Japanese American citizens in World War II, and they have a right to do that under the way things are structured, is there anything we can do to stop them doing that to us legally without, having an immense amount of money or lawyers or things like that? It's a common person.
Well, I would say, you know, you are looking ahead and this is a possibility. You're living today. Tomorrow hasn't happened and yesterday is gone. So there's no point crowding your mind with neuronal chemistry, neuro networks that are set up for horrifying, fearsome situations. You've got to live each day to its fullest, do the most you can, and that's the material from which tomorrow is born. I really am changing perspective on this. There is no sense worrying. Worrying is optional, and it's only going to mess up your future.
Wow, very good.
We have another caller standing by. Yeah, Saul, you can hang on there. We have another caller from the 708 area code. Before Sophia has to depart, please join the conversation. Give us first name and state.
Yeah, this is Brew. Sophia, you were talking about the PCR test.
Yes.
And, you know, we know about the guy that invented it and how he said it's pretty much not for the use that they've been doing it for, but we also knew that they wouldn't be doing this in vain, just as a show. They have to be doing something to get out of it. And one of the assumptions and things that we've deducted is, yes, a DNA, you know, gathering, and or in combination with maybe depositing something as well. Now, in your research, has there been any evidence that they are actually depositing something, as we've seen the cotton swabs being torn apart, and it looks like there's live fibers on it, almost like Morgellon-like, and now also as China has been propagating how they're going to do anal swabs, where they're actually going to deposit a swab 6-7 inches up the rear end to where it's closest to the gut, where it's very possible they could be depositing something, because obviously they're not testing for a coronavirus or a cold. So what are your thoughts on that, please?
Yes, I will tell you what I've learned, and I'm not sure about this, but I've heard it and tried to look it up. And okay, so there is a radiopharmaceutical called technetium, T-E-C-H-N-E-T-I-U-M, and I have been told that that's on the tip of the swab. And the reason the swab, the nasal one, goes so deep into the nose, into it hits that, I think it's called the cribriform membrane, and it abrades it and bruises it. And I mean, all of this is about indignifying us, and they want people looking into each other's asses to do these tests, sorry to be crude, and to present in that way. I mean, this is indignifying us maximally. And those of us who are stupid enough to succumb to this, well, you know what? Maybe you get what you deserve. I don't know. To me, this is something that people should just by no-brainer refuse, right? This methodology. But the abrasion of those tissues and membranes could be intentional in order to allow the penetration of some radio imaging material to get into you. And if they want you to take the test day after day or frequently, you know, every week or month as they plan to have us do, then this radio imaging material begins to collect in the brain, for instance, as they put it up into the nasal palate. And then it starts being able to image your brain when you walk past scanners. They will be able to see your brain. You know, not unlike Chertoff's introduction of the sensors, the X-ray sensors in airports, where supposedly people could be seen without their clothes on. Now your brain will be seen. So they might be able to see maps of your brain, maps of your gut. And the gut is considered to be as intelligent as the brain, although in a different way. I don't know. This is just I'm thinking here, creatively.
Well, I'm almost thinking, and I know it's not a perfect analogy or a comparison, but when the people, they go to check for cancer in some women, and they turn them into a blue Smurf, maybe some type of, they keep compounding up there they can image your brain easier just by going past certain scanners or whatnot. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm saying the day will come when we will be heavily surveilled. We already are, but this surveillance will be constant, and they will be able to see our brain, and that will mean something to them. I don't know how. I mean, look, I'm just sitting here in my room. I have a little bit of knowledge, but I'm not in a lab. I'm not one of them.
Sure. No, we definitely don't expect you to have all the answers. What you've shared today has been pretty great.
By the way, I just want to throw this out. I'm not trying to drop names, but do you know, once upon a time, many, many years ago, I was encouraged to meet Cary Mullis. I knew someone who knew him. He lived in San Diego. And this person said, but you might not want to meet him because he's crazy. And I said, oh, I don't want to meet anyone who's crazy. No thanks. So there you are.
Well, that word could mean many different things to many different people. We have another caller here, Paul from California. Join the conversation, Paul.
Speak of somebody who's crazy, hey, this was a fun show, huh, everybody? Hey, Sophia, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good, hanging in there. You know, I agree with your philosophy. I mostly, especially agree with what you just said about, you know, this is a no-brainer, and maybe these people get what they deserve. you know, I didn't really need any reason to become a worse human being than I already am in attitude. But I think Jim has heard me say on this show that I might have said it on another network one time that the sooner that a lot of these people succumb to the shot, then if that's what's going to happen, then the better for the rest of us. Then maybe we have a chance to be free, because so far it's mostly not affected me, and I don't anticipate it will, except for some of the inconveniences, such as, you know, going to the stores and, you know, having to deal with the confrontations with the little people. I don't know. I mean, can you blame me for making plans to, you know, get out of the country?
Well, I think, Paul, that this will catch up all over the globe. But we only have this many years to live, you know, whatever you want to assume your lifespan will be. So maybe you go to a place that's fairly remote, and this kind of a restrictive, these restrictive controls don't get there. But I'd like to, can I make a pitch for something that I invented? Although
sure.
I'm not Harry Mullis by any means.
Go right ahead.
My breathable face masks, if you go to avatarproducts.com or you go to sophiasmallstorm.com, these things have taken off. I just made one for myself out of organic muslin, cotton muslin, and friends wanted them, so I made a few more for friends. And then I went and got labels. So I am having these little tiny tags sewn on. Actually, I'm doing it myself, but I'm talking to a contractor one of these days to see if someone can sew these for me. But I have, you can have a mask with a label on it that says useless placebo, COVID zombie. I just got end the masquerade, M-A-S-K-E-R-A-D-E. Don't take the jab is coming. So you can walk around, breathe, and educate people. Make them look, read what's right under your right eyes, right where the little tag is. So you can buy these breathable face masks, sophiasmallstorm.com and Avatar Products.
Can I make an input regarding what the previous caller was saying about the tetanus shot? Well, it's been for years that Ted and Austin Brower have been saying, don't even get the tetanus shot because, you know, it's just another something they're injecting into you. You know, it's not good for you. It doesn't do any good, blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, over the weekend, I heard callers call into a certain show, and one caller was saying he went to the VA, and where he was getting his, you know, annual checkup or whatever it was, or new shots and so on and so forth. Well, when he went in, he found out after they gave an injection, he looks over, sees the bottle they injected him out of, and it had a combination of the shot they were giving him plus the mRNA, this COVID vax from whatever maker. It was an infusion. They actually take that and they combine it, whatever they're going to give you, with the new COVID shots. And they, it's a little trick they're playing at the VA hospital, and maybe even your local doctor's office, to get trick you into getting to giving you the shot. And the guy was livid. It was already, the damage was already done. They already injected him, but they're infusing these together. Now, many people, they're using the VA as a mass distribution center, because there's millions of people that are veterans, and they're always going in for their checkups and physicals and so on. And even people at this network, at Revolution Radio, have been constantly getting emails, come on in, get the COVID vax, you get the jab, but they keep obviously denying it. But one day when they go in and they're just going to get a tetanus or whatever else, they're going to find out that perhaps they're infusing the mRNA with whatever else they're doing. This is already a thing.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we just have to learn to refuse this effraction by needle. You know, would you line up for a snake bite? Come on.
People would, Sophia. You know that. I mean, look, across the street from where I live at the Kaiser Complex, about a week and a half ago, there was 100+ people. I didn't count, but a minimum of 70 or more, standing 6 feet apart on a beautiful Sunday afternoon waiting to get the shot. And I swear to God, the thought I had in my brain was, hey, come get your hand chopped off with an axe. People will still line up. It's just, you know, I've reached the point where I just, not only do I not care what happens to them, I expressed my sentiments earlier. I see these people all the time. I see neighbors with two masks. I see neighbors that they got masks on their 10-year-old child going down the street. I try to ignore it, and I put it out of my mind as best I can, you know, because it's just insanity.
We have another caller joining us. Scaredy Cat, join the conversation, Scaredy.
Hi, Jim and Mitch and Sophia and Brew and Paul.
So and salt.
I have, and salt. Okay. Thank you. So I have two questions. One is that I would like to close the gap between reality, which is the true full explanation of what you're saying about viruses, and the gap between what especially, well, all people, but especially teenagers and 20-somethings believe to be true. So I believe from their biology high school class that they believe, for example, Jenner's original injection 300 years ago, he took cowpox. Well, I think it was proven that there wasn't even any virus there, but he took some pus, which he thought was cowpox, the cowpox disease, and injected. And cowpox was a mild disease, like mild fever. And the reasoning he explained was the body would start making antibodies. So healthy people, if they got the vaccination, would make antibodies, which is a protein, but it's so similar in shape to the much more deadly smallpox disease, so that later on, just by walking around on planet Earth and breathing.
What's the gap you want to bridge, Scaredy Cat?
Well, that's the understanding that people have. And that's
nobody
why they think,
okay,
I get the injection, the body will create antibodies. And then when I walk around and I can't stop breathing, so with some breath, I will get the virus. And therefore, since I've got the injection, my body in the meantime has built an army of antibodies with similar shape. It will then attack the disease.
But,
and I will get it. But I want Sophia to say, want Sophia to say, how can we bridge?
All right, let me tell you what I would suggest, okay? Because we're going to run out of time, so I want to tell you.
Yes.
Go to AIDS. What did they do? They gave us an HIV test for AIDS. This was in the 1980s when they started the whole AIDS fiasco. All right, now, HIV is a nonspecific antibody test. There are 100 conditions at least that will give you a positive HIV test result, including pregnancy, including the flu. Your body is constantly making antibodies. HIV is a nonspecific antibody test, so it's going to turn out positive for a lot of people a lot of the time. And they use this to scare the crap out of you. And then they told people, oh, you're going to get AIDS. And then you would then sign up for these very, very toxic retroviral drugs, and that's what would kill you. So I want you to explain that to people. Make them stand still for 2 minutes, no matter what their age, and say, HIV, the HIV test, non-specific antibodies. I'll tell you something. People who come from tropical climates, whose heritage is like Black people from India, people, dark-skinned people who originate from the tropics, they produce antibodies amply. They have a much higher, much more effective, you could call it, antibody production rate than people who live in cold climates. Why do you think? Because there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of organisms competing for life in warm areas of the world. So those people have more antibody production. So they're going to test. This is why Blacks tested positive for HIV. And everybody said, oh, they're just, you know, terrible. They're dirty. They have bad sexual habits, all of this. No, they make more antibodies. And certain people make more antibodies than others. That's just the way their biology is. So HIV, totally useless test, non-specific antibody test. This PCR test is not a diagnostic test. It's a data grab, a bio data grab. So this is, you have to tell people, we already know this about that test. This test is no different. They're creating the furor of a pandemic to make you do things that comply with the new lifestyle, societal restrictions, governmental restrictions that they want, more control of you.
good
Sophia,
stuff.
Just been wonderful having you here today. And Brew, Paul, Scaredy Cats, all been terrific in calling in. What would you like to say by way of closing? We have a couple of minutes left only.
Well, first of all, I stayed because the people who came on the calls were so nice. Thank you. You're all lovely. And I want you to just feel all cozy and warm and glowy because of that. And everybody listening. And I want people to know, we have to know that we were, I've heard, I don't know if you believe in reincarnation, but I always think about this. We elbowed other souls out of the way so we could come to Earth and play this game again because it's just so fun, right? So we who are activists, this is what we've trained for. Now is the time to roll up our sleeves, inform people, step forward with confidence. Don't think of dark and horrible futures and yourself being locked up, because that tends to be the kind of reality you form for yourself. I want people to go and look up Dr. Joe Dispenza, D-I-S-P-E-N-Z-A. Listen to some of his presentations on YouTube. Start thinking in that way. He studied neuroscience. He is an absolutely amazing individual. And listen to testimonials from the people who went to his workshops and read his books. They're all over YouTube. They're on my blog, sophiasmallstorm.com, on my 2020 blog. And you will start to think differently, and then your life will start to unfold differently. And I'm not trying to babble New Age here. I'm just telling you, neuroscientifically, it is documentable that the more you worry, the worse your life gets.
Great point, Sophia. Just absolutely wonderful to have you here today. I want to thank Saul and Paul and Scaredy Cat and Brew for calling in. I thought it was excellent. Brew, let me give you a chance to one final remark before we part. Brew.
I would say this is the one time in history, Sophia, that we should be rolling down our sleeves so they can't have easier access to jab us.
Yes, but, that's right.
But, you know, really, what chance do we have? We have so many people that are so easily duped, and they're rushing to get the jab or to want to keep the masks on and drag us all in. And they're basically saying they're going to attack the ones that don't comply. What chance do we really have? What do you think?
Look, I'm a skeptic, but I live each day. The more you train yourself to live each day, don't look into tomorrow with fear, the better off it is for you, the better off you're going to be.
Thanks. We have a great guest.
Thank you all for being here, and especially thanks to Sophia Smallstorm.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not.